Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garvingol of Project 613 here in Chicago with another exciting edition and podcast of Monday Motivation. Boy, Project 13 is firing on all cylinders, kicking off 2023 in a big way with a fantastic challah baked downtown. Nothing like challah to bring the Jews out. It was incredible downtown, led by my wife, Suri, and Rebbetzin Marcus of Project 13. It was a really special night. And then capped off with an incredible Shabbaton this past Shabbos. Incredible, full packed house here at the Garfinkels. Feel tremendously blessed to be part of this incredible Project 613 community. All right, we have a ton of exciting things coming up. Do you know that this Wednesday we have the one and only Rabbi Shalom Fishbane, who is the head of the Chicago Rabbinical Council, coming downtown to speak to our Project 613 people. Wednesday, January 25th. Super excited. Rabbi Fishbane is incredibly influential in the Jewish world and is just a great speaker. Incredible stories about the adventures of industrial kashrus. Literally, how do you make a whole factory kosher? And in different places around the world, he has great stories, very enlightening and very entertaining. This is part of our When Real Life Begins series. Yes, where the rubber hits the road, where Torah and Jewish life interact with real life. What does it mean? How do you make things kosher? Is it the rabbi's blessing? No. Sorry to break everyone's Bubba Mice, as we say. They're urban legends. It's not the rabbi blessing the food. It should be fascinating. Please spread the word. Would love to have people. Project613.com/learning. Of course, sign up, register for the podcast, like, and subscribe to Monday Motivation with Robert Grafico. All right, end of commercials, and here we go. Anything plaguing you? Is there anything plaguing you? All right, so play on words with the Torah portions of the week where we talk about the Jewish people leaving Egypt. Well, not leaving Egypt quite yet, but is the process of the Almighty extricating, taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. And there's a few questions that come up. First of all, didn't Hashem, the Almighty, see all these sci-fi movies where you like freeze frame the bad guys and all the good guys just walk out? I mean, wouldn't that be easy? Well, in fact, he did see those sci-fi movies because in the ninth plague of darkness, which we're going to be reading this coming week, what happens is that the darkness was just dark for 3 days. But then the next 3 days, it was so dark. The pasuk, the verse says, Vayamesh Choshech. They felt the darkness. Their whole reality became like chocolate pudding that congealed. Did you see that acting? I guess you didn't see that. Okay. And it congealed and they literally could not move. So God has already proved he could freeze frame the Egyptians and just have the Jews walk out. So why in the world are we going through this whole thing? Just freeze frame, put them in their chocolate pudding, and call it a day. Jews will waltz out. Okay. That's one question. Hopefully we will get to when we answer that question. But there's another question that's even more powerful. Now, I don't want this question to sound irreverent to the Almighty, but I think it's an honest question about any really thinking person needs to ask about the Egypt experience, which we celebrate on Passover. As an aside, people ask, why are we reading in the Torah portion now? The Torah portion's dealing with the Passover story. Isn't that for Passover? Okay, so people, there's a very important lesson that I just have to get out there. I say to my students all the time, there are two cycles. Well, there are many cycles, but two different cycles when it comes to one being the Torah reading, the weekly Torah portion, which starts again at the end of Sukkos. The Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, is the name of the holiday, which became Simchas Torah. And then we start reading from Bereishis then. We start reading from In the Beginning. And we get to Exodus, the book of Shmos, which talks about the Passover story, about us leaving Egypt and the plagues around now, usually January, February-ish time. But the Torah itself says that the commandment to observe Pesach has to be in the springtime at the 15th of Nisan. So that's why we observe Passover later, usually in April. Okay, so that's why we're talking about it now, because it comes up in the Torah portion of the week. Please do not get nervous. You don't need to clean your house for Pesach just yet. Okay, so the semi-irreverent question that we need to ask, we'll say it in an analogy. And this analogy is brought to you by Rabbi Zev Lef, who taught us in the rabbinic program Or LaGola at Or Sameach. And I still remember this analogy, a very powerful analogy. Rabbi Lef is a great rabbi in Israel, in Moshav Metzisyahu. Should have continued good health, Emir Tashem, Ad Me'ev Esrim, until 120. So Rabbi Lef said the following analogy. Imagine two guys. Now, welcome to Talmudic Learning. It always starts when you need an example. It's not John Doe, okay? It's Reuven and Shimon, okay? The 12 tribes. And as soon as you need to incorporate more people, you go down the listing of the tribes. So Reuven was the firstborn and Shimon was the secondborn. So imagine Reuven is walking down the street and he sees Shimon slip on the sidewalk. His knee contorts into some horrific position, and he senses right away an ACL tear. Shimon is writhing in pain on the ground, and Reuven runs over. He calls Hatzalah, the Jewish emergency ambulance, and they take him to the hospital, and he goes with them, and he stays there until his family could come, and he keeps checking on him day after day, and he's going above and beyond. He's some random stranger, never met him before, but he's concerned about Shimon, and he nurses him back to health for months. Now, that's pretty good. Reuven would get really good credit. Big shout out to Reuven for all of his volunteerism and tremendous good character of doing something very nice for Shimon, above and beyond the call of duty. That's scenario A. But take a look at scenario B. What happens? Reuven's a little bit twisted. He has his trench coat. He has his nice Louisville Slugger baseball bat, okay? And Shimon looks, is walking down the street, and all of a sudden Reuven takes the Louisville Slugger baseball bat, knocks Shimon's knee, breaks it, tears his ACL, and then does the same thing. Takes care of him, nurses him back to health, and yada, 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 months and months and months. So obviously we would say, first scenario, Reuven, great guy. Second scenario, Reuven, twisted. Why in the world would he go purposely and slam Shimon's leg and then heal him? And why should he get credit? And so that's the question. That is the mashal, the nimshal. The idea from that analogy is, okay, Hashem, and again, don't want to sound irreverent, but it's a real question that needs to be asked. Thank you for taking us out of Egypt. But why'd you put us there? Why'd you put us there? If you didn't break our leg in the first place, you wouldn't need to fix it. Don't put us in Egypt, and you don't have to fix what's not broken. Why did the Almighty have to put us in Egypt? That is a fundamental question of the Torah, a fundamental question about Jewish life. And here we go. So let's finish the analogy the way that Rabbi Lef finished the analogy. He finished the analogy as follows. He says, we think that in the second scenario, Reuven is crazy. But later on, we interview Reuven. He says, Reuven, why did you take the baseball bat and break Shimon's leg? And Reuven says, you know, I know it seems strange, but let me tell you something. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I know that Shimon, from the way he was walking and the angle of the whatever, I could tell that if he kept walking and going about his life, he was going to end up crippled. And it might even have been a condition that would have been more severe. And the only way to heal that condition was to break his leg and then reset it properly. Huh. Wow. So what's the Nimshel? What is the message from that? The message from that is sometimes there are things that happen to us that are difficult, that are painful, but they seem random. Unless we realize that there's a purpose behind it. There's a method to the madness. And therefore the question becomes, did the Almighty stick us in Egypt just to suffer? Did he break our leg for no reason, quote unquote? And the answer is obviously no. There were great many reasons why Hashem put us in Egypt. And I'll share with you just a few of them. Are you ready? So one of them is an open verse. It's an open verse in Deuteronomy and Devarim. And it says, Moshe says that God put the Jewish people in the Kor HaBarzel. The Kor HaBarzel is the fiery furnace. Or as some would say, the crucible. But I'm not sure what a crucible is. So we'll call it the fiery furnace. And what is the fiery furnace? The fiery furnace goes like this. It's that when the metal has impurities in it, you heat it to a very high level, and what comes off is dross. The impurities come out, and therefore, when the metal then cools down, it is purified, it is strong, it's iron, it's tempered steel. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the first answer to why the Jewish people needed to be in Egypt. Because we are the chosen people, which means that we have a task throughout history to be the moral barometers of history, to be the standard bearers of morality and ethics in history. So when everyone else is beating themselves up and killing each other and raping and pillaging around the world, the Jewish people stick their hand up and say, hey guys, you know, that's not the moral thing to do, you know? And when Greece and Rome did not want developmentally disabled children and expose them and threw them down wells, archaeological evidence of this, folks, because it's not good for society. The Jewish people said, no. You know, there's something called the sanctity of life, and everyone's made in God's image. You can't just kill babies. That's a Jewish idea, and we're not popular. And therefore, God knew that we were going to have a target on our back throughout history because of the moral stands that we needed to take and for the values that we needed to embody. And therefore, we had to go through the most rigorous, tough, difficult, painful training to become the elite soldiers of Hashem, to survive not a decade, not 100 years, not 1,000 years, but we are 3,334 years since leaving Egypt. And it has not been an easy ride. So that experience of the fiery furnace forged us into the strong, powerful people that we are, the Energizer Bunny. We take a licking and keep on ticking. Nothing can stop us. But how did we get that power to go on? Difficulty after difficulty, persecution after persecution, not to mention the most recent Holocaust, and then to rebuild Torah in America and in Israel and the thriving Jewish community in Israel. Who would have thought? Okay, that's because we were trained in Egypt. Also, Rav Yosef Alba, I believe, one of the Sefer Ikarim, says something very fascinating. We see this theme throughout the Passover Haggadah, that we learned how to be servants. Avadim hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim, we were servants to, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And God took us out, what? To be his avadim. The only difference in the word is who your master is. And Eved, we were avadim to Paro. We were slaves to Paro, but we are ovdei Hashem. We're servants of Hashem. What's the only difference? Who our master is. When your master wants to destroy you and keep you down, you're a slave. But when your master wants to elevate you, then your service elevates you closer to him. That is the idea a second idea of why we needed to be in Egypt, because we needed to become practiced in being subservient. That is not a popular idea today, folks, but that's the irony. When we submit ourselves to Hashem, when we become his servants, we become the white-gloved servants in the palace. We're in the palace. We're right next to the king. That's an honor, and that's elevating. That's, we believe, our services. And a third reason, and there are many other reasons, a third reason why the Almighty put us in Egypt in the first place is because we, as a part of our moral mission, we're going to be the nation of compassion, the nation of tzedakah. Who gives tzedakah, charity like us? Who cares for the poor like us? Who cares and understands the plight of the stranger in a strange land? We do. Why? Because we were strangers in a strange land. And therefore, God had to put us in a situation of total subjugation so that it would inculcate within us forever to associate with those who are downtrodden and to give us the power and the ability and the inspiration to uplift those who are downtrodden and to be that great messenger, the Almighty, to be that moral, compassionate, and loving force in humanity. So there we have it, folks. Three distinct reasons, and there are many more. The first is to make us strong as steel to go through history. And the second is to train us to be loyal servants. And the third is to teach us compassion. The only way you really learn it is if one is on the receiving end of needing compassion. And then one day you can really express compassion because you know where they're coming from. I'd like to transition into the final part of the podcast with the title of the podcast, Anything Plaguing You? So it's a play on words, obviously, with the plagues. That, let's face it, folks, life is not easy. Life is not easy by design. And the question is, how do we deal with it? And I think that if we can internalize the messages of the historical leaving of Egypt in our own lives, then we will be able to leave our own personal Egypts. Those things that are plaguing us, the people that are plaguing us, the situations that are plaguing us. It helps when we realize that nothing happens by accident in our life. If there's a difficult person in our life, the Almighty has sent him or her in our life to teach us a lesson. Now, we don't need to open ourselves up to abuse, and I'm not playing therapist over here, but there are no accidents. Nothing gets by the desk of the Almighty. A difficult situation is supposed to teach us something. A difficult scenario is pushing us to develop new muscles, new emotional and spiritual muscles. And each one of the difficulties that we have, if we believe that it's the pharaohs of life of our life who are in charge, then it's only supposed to bring us down. But we reject that. We know that the challenges of our life are sent by the Almighty because he loves us, because he wants to be close to us. And that is our call to greatness. Every challenge is a golden embossed invitation to have a relationship with the Almighty. This is where prayer comes in. One of the reasons that we were redeemed from Egypt is because we cried out. We say it in the Haggadah, in the verses in the Torah that the Haggadah uses to describe leaving Egypt. Vanitzak, we cried out. Do we cry out to Hashem when difficulties come, be it financial, emotional, spiritual? That is the platform. That is the model. That is, we say in Hebrew, the dugma, the paradigm of how a Jew responds. When difficulties come, we start praying. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what is plaguing you? What is plaguing us? It's there for our good. And that is our challenge, to turn the great lemons of our life into lemonade. It is the easiest thing to talk about. It is the hardest thing to do. God willing, the response of the Jewish people to remain positive in the face of all that we have faced throughout history, starting from Egypt and beyond, should be an inspiration for all of us. It's in our spiritual DNA. We got this. We can do it. God willing, we will face our pharaohs and know that the Almighty is here to take us out of our personal Egypts. God bless. Have a fantastic week. Look forward to seeing you back right here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. God bless.